As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. But those who endure to the end will be saved." It has been about a year that our gospel readings have been mostly from the Gospel of Mark. Several times I've talked about Mark the storyteller, traveling the countryside, going from village to village, synagogue to synagogue, home to home, telling the story of Jesus, sometimes with actors. Today is the last Sunday of our year-long series of readings from the storyteller Mark. What we heard today takes place the day before Jesus was arrested, soon to suffer and die. He was preparing his disciples for his death. He wanted them to understand. He wanted them to remember one basic truth. He is Messiah. He is Son of God. He is Redeemer. But it's not going to look that way. The next couple of days aren't going to feel like Jesus is Messiah, Son of God, Redeemer. The next couple days are going to feel hopeless. Pain and suffering will lead to death. It's going to feel like the end. But Jesus is teaching that this is the beginning. The pain, Jesus says, is like the pain of childbirth. It's real pain, but it brings a new beginning. It brings new life. A new thing is about to happen. After the pain and after the suffering, there will be new life. There will be eternal life. Jesus was preparing his disciples for this truth. And so Jesus tells them that their job is to endure, endure to the end. Jesus is telling them, we're in a battle against sin and evil. We're in a battle against Satan. We're in a battle against death itself. The job of disciples is to endure. We've all had times in our lives when things just fall apart. We talked a lot about that during Lent this past year. And we used phrases to describe that, like when it rains, it pours, hitting rock bottom, being up to my neck in troubles, treading water, in the way I like to say it, my lips are above the waterline. And every time I spoke about such things, I basically said, there is always, always hope. I've spoken about hope several times in the past year. I've said that hope is like a light at the end of a tunnel. I've said that we're at our best when we marinate in hope. In the past year, I've said that hope comes in many different forms. I've said that sometimes hope comes in the form of music. Praying gives us hope. Sometimes there's hope in silence. There's hope in the sound of a baby's first cry. There's hope in the smell of freshly baked bread. There's hope in the bread and the wine of Holy Communion. In some form or other, every time we've worshiped together, I've talked about our ultimate hope, God's gift of eternal life. And we've also talked about times when it feels like hope is in short supply. Times of stress. Times of anxiety. And Jesus knew that in the days ahead, the last thing that the apostles were going to feel was hope. Now we have a saying, when minor things go wrong, it's not the end of the world. You've said that, right? It's not the end of the world. But here, just the day before his arrest, Jesus knew that things were falling apart. They were falling apart so much that he was saying that what's about to happen to you, he was telling the disciples, what's about to happen will definitely feel like the end of the world. But in fact, what is about to happen is not the end of the world. What is about to happen is a new birth, is a new beginning. After they left the temple, one of the disciples was impressed by the stones of the temple. And that makes sense. The smaller stones of the temple were between 2 and 5 tons. Those were the small ones. The largest stone of the temple was 570 tons. But Jesus wasn't impressed. This unfinished temple was a project of Herod the Great, the one who massacred innocent babies, trying to kill the infant Jesus. This magnificent temple, Jesus was telling his disciples, is temporary. And we know Jesus was right, because in just 40 years after he said this, the temple was destroyed. Jesus was never impressed by human riches and wealth. We heard last Sunday what Jesus was impressed by. We heard that he was impressed by a widow who gave an offering worth a penny. That temple that Jesus and his disciples were standing in front of, that temple in today's money was worth about $20 billion in today's money. And what was Jesus impressed with? The gift of the widow who gave a penny. The generosity of that penny represents the work of God's kingdom. The magnificent building, not so much. Jesus teaches that there is an eternal building, one that will never be destroyed. And this is our hope. This is our ultimate hope, eternal life. The disciples wanted a sign so they'd know when the end was. And so Jesus talked about wars and earthquakes and famines, because these are traditionally signs of the times. And Jesus is telling his disciples, these things will happen. But these things aren't signs of the end. Jesus is teaching that these things are signs of the beginning. The signs the disciples should be looking for are things like the widow's generous gift of a penny. Every act of kindness, every act of compassion or mercy, caring for those in need, supporting one another, these are the true signs of the times, according to Jesus. Helping someone in a difficult situation, that's a sign of the times. The disciples wanted to know when the end will be. Jesus never answers that question. In fact, he says, beware of anyone who pretends to know the end. Beware of anyone who pretends to know the when. Jesus never teaches when the end will come. Later in this chapter, he even tells his disciples he doesn't know. What Jesus teaches is how. How to endure to the end. And Jesus is teaching that the way we endure to the end is being generous. Even if we think it's only worth a penny, we endure to the end by caring for one another, supporting one another, loving one another. That's how we endure to the end. According to Jesus, that's all we need to know, not the when it's going to happen. These signs of love, when you see wars and earthquakes and famine all around, these signs of love help us to endure to the end. As disciples, we are the signs of the times in a world that's filled with wars and earthquakes and famine. Of all kinds. We endure to the end by being a light in a world of darkness and sin. We endure to the end by praying, by worshiping, by marinating in holy teachings, in God's word, in music, in art, and in loving relationships. We endure to the end by connecting to others in the family of faith. We endure to the end by clinging to the eternal, not to what is temporary. We endure to the end by helping others endure to the end. So no matter what the chaos, no matter what the troubles, no matter what storms come our way, no matter how hard life gets, by the grace of God, as disciples of Jesus, we will endure to the end, and we will help others endure to the end. Let us pray. Holy God, we come asking you, when is the end? And Jesus enters in and answers, love one another. Holy God, what are the signs of the times? And Jesus enters in and answers, love one another. Holy God, the times are hard. How can we endure to the end? And Jesus enters in and says, love one another. Love one another. Love one another.